Let's take our Bibles, if you would please, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. Proverbs, chapter number 8, and we have been, during the month of December, we were focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly drawing closer to his birth, and we've been away from the book of Proverbs for some time, and we'll be resuming here where we left off in Proverbs, chapter number 8. And we're going to be dealing with one verse this evening, that is found verse 13. So Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, we're going to read that together. So Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. I'll wait till everybody finds the place there. All right, Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse number 13. Let's all read it together. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. I was looking at those words and I thought to myself as we were getting closer to the end of the year, how appropriate this text is for just this, the end of the year, and to consider a new year. And I believe it is important for us as we think about life in general. Someone put it this way, that life is a series of new beginnings. As we start every morning, we have a new opportunity, if you would. As the year, I think it's a good opportunity for us each year to come to the close of a year and to begin a new year to examine ourselves and to see where we are spiritually. To go back, perhaps often people deal, in the world we hear that a lot about New Year's resolutions. Well, in the sense as Christians, we have to assess where we are spiritually. Now, look, if you want to do something such as lose weight and things like that, those are all wonderful things to do. But it would be a shame if we do things that are physical in nature and ignore the spiritual aspect of our lives in our self-examination. And here the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There is important subjects in the Word of God that is as important as this subject, and particularly as we've been studying the book of Proverbs. It comes to the forefront quite a bit, and it's certainly a remarkable verse to consider as we draw near to the eve of a new year. In truth, I would consider this verse to be one of the most appropriate and practical as we examine our lives. This book of Proverbs has been called, as I did in the first message, the book of wisdom. It is about the heavenly wisdom of God for the earthly lives of men. And we begin reading in verse number 10 and 11. Let's do some review here. In verse number 10 and 11, before we get to verse 13, notice the context here is wisdom. He says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And then we come to verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. I want to preach this evening on this subject or this title. Fearing God is hating evil. Fearing God is hating evil. In verse number 10 and 11, there are three things that we took, by the way, those verses are repeated throughout in different forms, in various ways, throughout the book of Proverbs, talking about choosing wisdom over gold and deeming it to be more precious than rubies. And so we determined three things about wisdom. First of all, we said that wisdom from God is incontrovertible. And what we mean by that, the first word in verse 10 is receive. Wisdom must be received. It is, as we see in our text, the benefits of wisdom cannot be disputed or denied. And I'm not talking about the wisdom from God's Word. The world has often aligned itself against God's wisdom, yet every time the world's way has proven to be an abject failure. I think we see that all the programs, the ideas, the social constructs that are put up by, because of, if you would, the underlying philosophy is humanism, they all fail because they never deal with the root issue. But the wisdom that comes from God is incontrovertible. All we need to do is receive it. Then we also see, secondly, we determine that wisdom from God is invaluable. Notice the wording in verse number 10 and 11. Receive my instruction, notice, not silver. He goes on to say, knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom, for wisdom, verse number 11, is better than ruby. So he says, choose instruction, not silver. Knowledge rather than gold. Wisdom over rubies. And so the Bible here makes it clear that wisdom from God is invaluable. The worth of wisdom and the value of wisdom to our lives cannot be compared to anything in this world. Countless people have spent hours attempting to establish some new way, some new morality. We see that in our society right now. Some new societal structure, some new teaching curriculums and mechanisms. There's always kind of a new curriculum, if you notice, particularly when the government is associated with the educational system. Every few years, they come up with a better way to teach students, and it seems to, every time, fail miserably. And all along, the answer has been sitting on many people's shelves, unopened. The most valuable book ever written has become one of the most neglected books and ignored for its contents. So we see that wisdom from God is incontrovertible, it is invaluable, but also it is incomparable. Notice those last words in verse number 11, or verse number 10, or verse number 11, excuse me. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You know, many are the things that are deemed as valuable in the eyes of men, and it is often found to be a treasure that is corrupt, or that corrupts, and therefore it cannot bring lasting satisfaction. That which God offers, however, in the pages of this very book, is of much greater value to our lives than all of the things put together that are deemed as valuable in the world. All the things that you can desire, that a man could desire in his life, are not to be compared to it. In other words, you can't talk about it in the same category. It cannot be compared. Nothing can be compared to the wisdom that God offers. So, in verse 10 and 11, are followed, as we saw in verse number 12, 13, 14, there is followed here by a number of truths that are worthy to be considered, each one in their own studies. We looked at verse number 12 last time, I think it's about a month ago, and this evening we're going to look at verse number 13 again. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Now I'll be honest with you, I'm going to stop here for a second, and throughout my, since we've been here 3 years and preached through the book of Philippians, the book of Hebrews, the book of Romans, we're going through the book of Acts, the book of Malachi, going through the book of Proverbs, the book of Genesis, there is a theme that keeps coming back, or if you would, a topic that keeps coming back. And that's the topic of humility and pride. It seems that throughout the Word of God, you find this subject comes up quite a bit. We've already seen that in the book of Proverbs as well. And here it is once again at the forefront for us. But we're looking at verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now we're talking about wisdom in its context. This verse, verse number 13, is a statement of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I want us to think about wisdom in light of verse number 13 as we think about the title again, Fearing God is Hating Evil. I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, number one, I want us to consider the condition of wisdom. The condition of wisdom. You know, when we look all around us at the behavior of people, we can often classify people's behavior as being wise or unwise. We think about how you respond to people. If you're mistreated or if you blow up, how you respond to people is either wise or unwise. How you raise your children can be wise or unwise. How you handle your finances, you can do it in a wise way or you can do it in an unwise way. How you work on the job can be wise or unwise. And so the Bible addresses, by the way, each one of those areas rather specifically. And therefore, we can make a proper determination whether someone is acting wisely or unwisely based upon a decision, a behavior, and so on. However, when we think about this verse here, I'm not interested in classifying the behavior as wise or unwise as much as I am interested in the condition that we are in. In truth, our actions are the direct reflection of our condition. It is important, therefore, that we focus on the right condition if we are going to appropriately deal with our behavior. We ask ourselves this question, what is wisdom? Now, we've answered that a number of times as we've gone through this series, and my direct answer is actually quite simple. The answer is not what I think or even something that I've come up with. And I would give you this definition. Wisdom in its purest form is the fear of the Lord. Wisdom in its purest form is the fear of the Lord. Now, these are not my words. These are actually the words of the Lord. If you go back with me to the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, let's do an examination here of this subject of the fear of the Lord and why I say that wisdom in its purest form is the fear of the Lord. Notice Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The Bible says here, the fear of the Lord, notice, is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you go over with me to Proverbs chapter number 9, in Proverbs chapter number 9, notice with me in verse number 10. The Bible says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, that is where wisdom starts. That is where wisdom begins. It begins in the fear of the Lord, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now go with me to Proverbs chapter number 15. In Proverbs chapter number 15, here we have again a clear verse, not difficult to be understood. Proverbs 15, notice verse number 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I want to take you to one more verse, and that is found in the book of Job. So before the book of Psalm, in Job chapter number 28, I would like to for you to notice one particular verse. Job chapter 28 and verse number 28. Again, we're talking about the fear of the Lord. Notice the Bible says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So here we have a clear basis for this statement when we think about what is wisdom, or how is wisdom first evidenced? What is wisdom rooted in? It is rooted in this, the fear of the Lord. And we have several plain statements that make it clear, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So we ask ourselves today, who is the wise man? I'll tell you who a wise man is. It is someone who fears the Lord. That's who a wise person is. In its purest form, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, if we were asked today, what is the most important wisdom that you could pass on to the next generation? What would we say? If we could only use three words, what would these three words be? I'll tell you what those three words be. If there is the greatest piece of wisdom that we could pass on to the next generation, it's three words. Fear the Lord. That's it. Some people say, well, why? Well, based upon the verses we read, because the fear of the Lord is where everything begins. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. There is no way, understand, there is no way to gain any more knowledge and any more wisdom where the fear of God is not present. It is impossible. And secondly, because fearing the Lord is wisdom itself. A man that fears the Lord is a wise man. And a man that does not fear the Lord is an unwise man. You see, wisdom cannot be separated from the fear of the Lord. Where there is no fear of the Lord, There is no wisdom. Now, how can we, if we think about our lives personally, when faced with the same decisions over and over again, make different decisions? Have you ever wondered that? We think about financially. Sometimes we make a good financial decision to not spend money, and then when we're faced with the exact same decision, we do it. While previously we hadn't done it. How can, when we face with the same type of decisions, sometimes we make the right decision, sometimes we make the wrong decision? How does that happen? You see, the truth is, wisdom does not come and go. We cannot justify ourselves and say this, I knew what to do, and so that's why I made a wise choice. And then, on the same matter, say, I didn't know, so that's why I did what I did. Well, no, wait a minute, it's the same type of decision. Why did you exercise wisdom in one decision, and then maybe sometime later, in the same exact type of decision, you did not use wisdom? What's the difference? The difference is not ignorance. Something else is contributing. And I'll tell you what is contributing, is the fear of the Lord. We fear the Lord, or we do not fear the Lord. The truth is that we can affirm this. I do not fear the Lord as I ought to fear the Lord. If you go with me in the book of 1 Chronicles, if you turn there, in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 28, now, here in this particular record, David the king is about to pass, and he gathers the congregation of the nation of Israel, and he's going to make the announcement that his son Solomon is going to reign in his stead. And we could read there in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1 down to verse number 9, but let's pick it up if you would. And let's go to verse number 5. The Bible says here, "And all my sons," so David is speaking, "for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." Verse number 6. "And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day." Verse number 8, "Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." And now David is going to turn to Solomon himself and speak directly to his son. "And thou, Solomon, my son," here it is, "know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." When we think about the fear of the Lord, we have to have this idea in mind, okay? It's not just this mindset that I am trembling or I am afraid of someone. It has the idea of being reverential towards God, of having respect, admiration, and love. And here, as his father passes on the torch over to his son, Solomon, he doesn't go into specifics, if you would, says, "Now, this is the type of commandment I want you to keep. This is the specific one here. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't." No, he doesn't. What does he deal with? He deals with the central issue. And what is Solomon to do? He is to serve the Lord with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. Why? Because the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. You remember when Solomon was then king, you remember what he said? God says, "You can ask me anything." And Solomon said, "I want you to give me wisdom." And God gave him wisdom and riches and many things beyond what he had asked for. But one of the amazing statements that is made about Solomon in the beginning of his reign was this: "And Solomon loved the Lord." I think you could put just as well in there: "And Solomon feared the Lord." In other words, the reason why Solomon did what he did in the beginning of his reign, which was good and right in the sight of the Lord, we know later he turned, but at the beginning of his reign, there was a love, an affection for the Lord, a fear of the Lord, and that's what he eventually lost. His wisdom, his intuitions as far as matters and how to deal prudently with things did not go away, but what did go away was his fear of the Lord. And that is why his behavior changed. And so it is with us. We ask ourselves, how can one day upon the same matter make the wrong decision and then upon the same matter make the right decision? Now, there's something at the root of that that stands as the culprit. And Solomon would later acknowledge at the conclusion of his life, if you would, as he writes the book of Ecclesiastes as the preacher, he concludes the entire book by saying this: this is the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the conclusion? Fear God. Fear God. In other words, Solomon acknowledges when he had strayed away from the Lord and his love, the Bible, no, remember, his reign began with he loved the Lord. And then when he turned from the Lord, his love was turned towards other things, towards other people more than God. His fear of God ceased. And then he went astray. And at the end of his life, he saw that all those things that he had lived for were vain and empty. And so he concludes again and says, I say this is the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God. Why? Because that's the thing that had been lacking when he went astray from the Lord that he had at the first. And so we see here, we emphasize the condition of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So think about those words, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. So, I can tell you right now, if I look at a person's life, and obviously I do not know the hearts, but we ask ourselves here, as you look at your individual life, sometimes people want to focus so much on, well, I want to make the right decision, or how do I make the right decision, and I need counsel here, and I need counsel this, and I need someone to tell me what to do here, and no, what we need above all is the fear of the Lord. That's what we need above all. Because that, if we have that, it will take care of a whole lot of things afterwards. You see, the reason why we go astray is because there's a lack of the fear of the Lord. So we see the condition of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's the by the way, that's a good condition. Now notice here, we continue in the verse, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So we see not only the condition of wisdom, but secondly, we see the consequence of wisdom. So if we fear the Lord, this is, if you would, how the fear of the Lord is defined in one way at least. It is this: the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now this is a really a profound statement that I trust that we will continue to meditate over as we consider ourselves in this upcoming year. Because I think if we could go back and look at this past year and see where we've gone astray, perhaps personally, or perhaps times and we've been angry or we've misbehaved in the sight of the Lord and we know it hasn't pleased God, understand what goes back. We have to deal with, go back to the root of the issue. Often the problem in our lives, we try to deal with all the symptoms and we never resolve the root issue. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Again, this is a profound statement that we must spend time meditating upon and asking the Lord ourselves, and we think about the word evil, there are many forms in which it is manifested. Let's go through all the areas of our lives. Is there any one of those areas that is not Christ-like? Now remember, we defined in Sunday school just a few weeks ago, remember we defined sin? All unrighteousness is sin. We also say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we think about all these things. You know, just as I didn't do some bad thing over here because I feared the Lord. The question we ask ourselves is, did we actually do something the Lord wanted us to do and we didn't do it? Why? I'll tell you why. Because we didn't fear the Lord. We deemed our interests more important than God's interests. Why? Because we don't fear him. You see, our immediate thought, as I was reading that verse, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. My immediate thought or our response to this verse might be something like this. How can a man who is by nature drawn to do evil, and we have since our birth, how can a person who is naturally drawn to evil hate evil? How can a man hate doing that which he loves doing by nature? How is that possible? Well, the Word of God is clear, by the way, concerning this condition. If you go with me to the book of Romans in chapter number 3. Now remember, in the context of the book of Romans here, he's explaining in chapter number 3 that all men are under sin. Whether it was someone that lived under the, if you would, the biblical system of receiving the Word of God and the commandments and the law, the Mosaic law and all those things, that those who lived outside of that were sinful in the sight of God, and also the religious people were sinful in the eyes of God. He concludes in verse number 9 of chapter 3 that all men, whether Jew or Gentiles, they're all under sin, they're all guilty. And notice what he says then in verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. Here it is, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is the condition of every man. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that that includes us, obviously, before our salvation. That is what he's talking about here. And so we ask ourselves here, how can we, who by nature are drawn to evil, hate evil? How can we who love evil by nature get to the place where we hate evil? The Bible makes it clear that that's the condition of every man. You see, what stands at the root of all wrong behavior or decision, it is certain that we can attribute evil to the lust of our flesh. There's certainly a place there. But coupled with the desires of the flesh is also, as we see in Romans 3, is the absence of the fear of the Lord. So you see, these two go together. The presence of the one is the absence of the other, and vice versa. So when we lust, when we fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, when we do by nature the things that are that satisfy the flesh, then that is the place where there is no fear of God. But where there is fear of God, then there is the absence, if you would, of the evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now go back to the book of Proverbs and go back to chapter number 1. You remember, as he's writing to his son, he is writing in the first chapter. He begins the first 12 verses by talking about wisdom, and wisdom is important. And he also mentions the benefit of this great book of Proverbs that will do to his son. And then in verse number 10, he gives a warning. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. By the end of chapter number 1, if you go with me to verse number 29, notice what he says. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So he says here very clearly, verse 29, those that go out, and by the way, you can read the whole chapter, he's talking about those who, in verse number 11, let us lay wait for blood, let us look privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. In other words, these are the people who live for this world, for the temporary things, the things that corrupt. And he says that these people are those who have not chosen, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And therefore they would eat the fruit of their own way. What's the way? The evil. Where there is no fear of God, there is an evil way. So what is it that has to be dealt with in our lives? The root issue, the fear of the Lord. The understanding of Proverbs 1 is if they chose the fear of the Lord, they would have not gone down the evil way. So, again, the question is, how does a person who naturally right? Loves evil, hate evil. Well, the key is right in the verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Where the presence of the fear of the Lord is. You see, where the Lord is, there is a departure of evil. You know, Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, that is the moment when he said, in response to the presence of God, "Woe is me, for I am..." Now, look, he was the prophet that was supposed to go to the nation of Israel and to prophesy to them. God called him, but what? We would say, if you put on a scale, he was more righteous than all of Israel. He was a better man, a more godly man. He would be sent of God to preach to them. But himself, when he was in the presence of God, he said, "Woe is me." He didn't say, "Woe is Israel." You see, in the presence of God, there is no other consideration. When we stand face to face with God, and we come to the presence of God, and we truly, genuinely fear the Lord, all of the consideration of everybody else around us dissipates. And we can't escape the presence of God. We can't run away and find a corner, or bring in somebody else into the presence of God, because we are overwhelmed by who God is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So the only way that we could truly hate evil is if we find ourselves consistently in the presence of God and aware of who He is. Because that is not something that is produced of our own selves. Now, for the New Testament Christian, we understand that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have something wonderful. We have access into the throne of grace at any time, as we talked about on Sunday. And so it's not like we cannot be in the presence of God. No, we can. So, we see the condition of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The consequence of wisdom is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But thirdly, I want you to consider the contrast of wisdom. Now, notice what he does here in Proverbs chapter number 8. Notice the remainder of the verse. Proverbs 8, notice verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And notice here, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, who is that speaking? That's God. He's already said that. Remember in chapter number 6. God spoke and he says, "These are the things that I hate." And you can find the other mentions there as well through the Word of God. This is God speaking and this is what God hates. Now, notice here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then the second part of the verse, he's going to put it in a different way. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So now we go into the specifics of what is it that when we fear the Lord, we will come to hate. Now, I want you to see here, there is not, if you would, some, those are specific sins, if you would, as we know what pride is. But you see, it is not a behavior such as we say the sin of adultery, the sin of murder. Those are acts committed by men. That's not what we're talking about here. He's talking about there's something that underlies all of those actions, all of those behavioral patterns. Well, what underlies that? Well, he tells us. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth. There's actually a logical progression in those. It begins with pride, as it always does. That's how it began with the devil. And by the way, that's how it always begins with us. With pride. Pride, now pride, if you would, if I can put it in the term that is best understood by me, I would put it this way, is when I make myself God. That's what pride is. I've elevated, right? Pride means to lift up. So instead of lifting God up, I lift myself up. That is pride. I deem myself as the one who will make my own decision without the consideration of God. That's pride. Now, pride leads to arrogancy. That is a spirit that's within man. It's just kind of a you've been around people that sometimes you hang around and you feel like, oh, they're full of themselves. There's a certain spirit of arrogance around them. They like to always basically praise themselves and put everybody else around them down. That's arrogancy. Pride leads to arrogancy. There's a spirit about a person that is prideful, and it comes out in this arrogance, but then it leads to something else. Pride and arrogancy, notice, and the evil way. You see, the person that is basically declared by their pride, I'm God, I'm going to make my own decision, becomes arrogant, and then they make their own way. Why? Because they're God. They've made their own decision. They're not going to follow God's way. They're going to do their own thing. And then what that leads to is a froward mouth. They have to speak. They have to boast of their ways. They have to have people join their cause. So we see the logical... The Bible says God hates that. What is it all rooted in? It's rooted in pride. What is interesting, in the book of Proverbs itself, we find that truth. If you go with me to Proverbs 22, in Proverbs 22, and verse number 4. Proverbs 22, notice with me verse number 4. The Bible says here, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You see that? By humility and the fear of the Lord. So in other words, humility and the fear of the Lord go together. The opposite, right, of the fear of the Lord is, what does God hate? Pride. If you go with me to the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Now, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 5, we are in the midst here of the practical section talking about how we can practically live our lives as believers in this world. And in Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse number 21. Before he addresses the relationship of the husband and the wife, he says this in verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, in other words, what that tells us here is that if we... do not submit, it means that we're not fearing God. Because when we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God, because the fear of God is present there. Let's go to one New Testament passage in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And notice with me in verse number 1. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. What's the next part? In the fear of God. You see, perfecting holiness is actually only possible in our lives when the fear of God is present. So when the fear of God is not there, there is no perfecting unto holiness. By the way, that goes well with our Sunday school series right now. You see, the fear of God is absolutely must be present there. And so when God says here, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, do I hate? I was reading a commentary today and he said this, a proud disciple of a lowly Savior, how offensive is this contradiction to our Master? What a cause of stumbling to the world. Think about it. A proud disciple of a lowly Savior. How offensive is this contradiction to our Master? See, the best piece of wisdom that we could have in the year 2021 is this, fear the Lord. What is it that we need to work on truly? Now, we could go and we can look at, hey, oh wow, I've got those besetting sins here and I'm dealing with this over here and I seem to repeat this behavior over and over and so what do I do? The best piece of advice I have is just fear the Lord. So well, you're like, well, how does that happen? Well, the only way that really happens in the Word of God is when you get into the presence of God. You say, how do I do that? Open the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Ask as the psalmist does, Lord, would you show me if there's any wicked way in me? And the more time you will spend with God, the more love, admiration, and respect you will have for God, because you now see yourself in full light of a holy God who came to redeem you and pay for your sin debt, for my sin debt. And being overwhelmed by that, we will have a genuine respect and love and admiration for God that we would be so upset to offend Him. That is the fear of the Lord. We could ask ourselves this question. If we think about our lives, and perhaps you think about how you have offended God in any way, when was the last time you or your heart was broken that you offended a holy God? You see, we can try so hard to, I need to stop doing this, I need to stop doing that. That's not the way you do it. It's never been that way. You and yourself are incapable of doing that. But when you come into the presence of God, and you recognize who He is, and you see yourself for who you are, and you still comprehend that God loves you with an everlasting love that is unchanging, the only thing that can do is humble you and cause you to walk circumspectly. You cannot spend time in the presence of God and leave with your nose up in the air thinking you're something. You cannot leave the presence of God jumping up and down at the opportunity that you have to sin next. It just does not happen. And so, say, Pastor, give us wisdom for the year 2021. I'll give it to you. Fear the Lord. Fearing God is hating May the Lord help us to perhaps in the next few days to spend some time meditating on this truth and ask the Lord to help us.